Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Today on the TMZ Podcast.
Welcome to the TMZ Podcast. Derek and Eric here.
How you doing?
How you doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, yeah.
Last night was very, very upsetting on Monday Night Football. Let's jump right into it. There was a Bengals-Buffalo Bills game. I'm not a huge football fan, but Monday Night Football is an institution. It gets, even in an age of dying television, Monday Night Football garners huge ratings. And something very upsetting happened on the field. Damar Hamlin, who is a 24-year-old player for the Buffalo Bills, made a tackle that didn't seem at all out of the ordinary. He tackled a player on the field. He stood up and within seconds collapsed backwards on the field, almost sort of looks like he fainted backwards, just lost everything.
Collapsed.
I mean, there's no other words for it. Immediately, there was sort of emergency personnel on the field performing CPR in front of sort of a live audience.
Almost 10 minutes, right?
For nearly 10 minutes trying to resuscitate him. After that, an ambulance sort of rolls onto the field. They load him onto a stretcher, and he's carted off very, very quickly and taken to a nearby hospital in Cincinnati. Just an extremely upsetting scene. The other players on the field are obviously distraught.
On both teams.
Both teams. When you see something of this magnitude, where it's a life and death situation, it's not an injury of a leg or something like that, they're distraught. There's initially warming up to maybe play again. But they don't. They're
saying that like that was never on the table at all, because they obviously knew what was happening more than any of the spectators knew. Like, people knew something was wrong, but you didn't know to the extent of was it a concussion? Was he just hurt?
I was receiving texts from people who watch Monday Night Football or big football fans, thinking I just watched a player die on the field. It seemed almost like you were watching a snuff film. It was very, very upsetting. Yeah. And like I said, like the Oscars and the Super Bowl, football games garner a lot of attention, even this day and age. And to see something like that was just very, very strange and very, very upsetting. I don't know how else to sort of put it.
You watch someone almost die.
Yeah. And so he's in the hospital now. His vitals have apparently returned to normal. His reps have said, look, keep him in your prayers. He's been sedated. He has a breathing tube in, but his vital signs are back. So that's a very, very good sign, but he remains in critical condition. Yeah. This is something that we'll be monitoring, and is a story that, although Damar Hamlin is not a huge figure in the sports world, it has captivated everything. This is the cover of the New York Times. Yes. This is the top story on our website. Why do you think that is? I sort of wanted to talk about, this transcends sport, and it has sort of captured the attention of the world, even though Damar Hamlin, who is very talented, anyone in the NFL is very talented, but I hadn't heard of him before.
He's not Tom Brady. People outside of football know necessarily. I think part of it, what it is, because I'm with you, I'm not like a huge football guy, and I had not heard of him before last night. But, to look at positive things out of this, not, obviously with him, that's horrible. But one, you saw how both teams rallied around him so quickly. They canceled the rest of the game, which almost never happens.
Yeah. And it's an important game for what that's worth. This is the end of the season, has playoff implications, and so forth. But it seems so, insignificant in light of what happened.
And this is one time where I think social media kind of was good.
Yeah.
Because people were so quick. So much of what I saw about it last night was not him collapsing itself, not the clip from the game. It was about him as a person.
Yeah.
And you learned what a good guy he is. And one of the nice things to come out of this is he has a children's toy drive charity in his hometown that has gotten $3 million in donations overnight.
$3.4 million in donations, and you're right.
It wasn't so much about the tragedy of it or the outrage or any of the things you usually see on social media.
It's about a human.
It was about, this is a good guy that something horrible happened, and everyone's, just you see outside the hospital in Cincinnati where he is, fans from both teams.
Yeah.
Everybody's just
the
like...
The game was in Cincinnati. Yeah. This is a Buffalo Bill, so it's a rival team, you know, and everyone just drops all of that. They drop all the pretense of sport that we say is so important, and you have these grand rivalries, and everyone says, no, this is a human being, and he's in a hospital, and we're going to rally around him. And you're right. Social media, we point to so much as an engine for sort of the worst parts
outrage.
Of humanity.
It's always outrage. People are outraged. No, this people care.
You can marshal the good, too. Yeah. It marshals sort of the better angels that we have at times, and it's instances like this where you really see an outpouring of just goodwill. I'm reminded of the scene. It's sort of, remember the scene in Ghostbusters when all the good nature of the city sort of rallies and the ghosts are sort of defeated by just the outpouring of goodwill?
Yeah.
It felt that way, and it sort of feels as if everyone understood immediately in the moment. There were no sort of, that I saw, hot takes of like, play the game. None of that.
Yeah, or blaming the NFL.
Let's promote our cause. This bad thing happened,
and if there's anything, you know, if it was somehow because of the playing or whatever, you know, like a specific
all
thing,
that's to be handled at another time.
Yeah, right now it's just you need DeMar to get better.
Yeah, and I agree with you. It's nice to see everyone sort of roughly on the same page about the importance of this, the gravity of this, and to not sort of descend immediately into bickering. Now, we're within hours of the event. This is a nighttime event, Monday Night Football. It is Tuesday morning, so I am sure that negativity will trickle in. It's going
to
happen.
People want you know, just to be noticed on the internet. But
yes.
But yeah, I love that the immediate reaction was, hey, let's not focus on him collapsing. Here's him. Like, I saw a clip earlier in the game of him running over to the sidelines to his family.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, this is who this person is. Let's focus on that and not
the
trauma porn, you know?
I couldn't agree more. And I haven't even seen people sort of, like, replaying it over and over again. The broadcast itself, I thought, handled it a very difficult situation pretty responsibly. They, you know, showed the play on the field. You know, it was during the action of the game. It was unavoidable to see it initially happen. But they didn't replay it over and over again. They went to the studio, and they sort of talked about him as a human and talked about how this was larger than the sport. There wasn't any talk of the significance of the game or anything like that. They were just sort of stunned at what they had witnessed. And, you know, it's difficult. Live television has still the potential to shock and awe, right? Yeah. We watch a lot of produced television shows. You're not going to get that kind of surprise on The Crown. But, you know, Will Smith slapping at the Oscars, something happening at Monday Night Football. These are rare events that everyone sees and everyone processes in real time. And it's interesting from a sociological or anthropological perspective to see how people are witnessing and processing these things in real time.
Because it shows a lot of who we are.
Yes.
What is your real gut initial reaction to a thing?
Yeah.
And if you see a 24-year-old collapsing and almost dying, well, how you react to that says something about you.
Yeah, and the one thing that really sort of hit me very hard is his mother. He's a sixth-round draft pick, so he is a guy who sort of worked very hard to get into the NFL. Yeah. He's not a superstar by any means, but his mother was so proud of him. She would go to all these games. This is a game in Cincinnati, and she was in the crowd, and just sort of my heart was absolutely sort of melting to see that she had to witness this on the field, was rushed down to see her son in that condition. Now, we're all sort of pulling for him, but there was a really sort of like human moment of this is someone's son. This is someone's brother. This is I believe he has children. This
when
is someone's father.
I saw pictures of like his teammates just crying on the field because, these are people.
They're
not just numbers teammates. And helmets running back and forth. You know, these are real people. And, you know, there will be, I'm sure, lots of looking into what caused this. Is it just, you know, was it a genetic thing with him? Is it something that, you know, was he hit in a certain way?
Mm-hmm. I've heard of sort of freak injuries like that, but it feels like premature to sort of discuss how maybe playing the sport he loves could lead to this and all those things. His condition is so critical right now that you want to wait to see him sort of restored to normalcy or some version of it before we address the causes and sort of get into all those things.
So we know that will come.
We know it'll come. So patience, everyone. We're monitoring the situation very closely.
What's up, everyone? It's Nick Wright, and I got something exciting to talk to you about today. Angie, your ultimate destination for getting all your jobs done well. Now, Angie isn't just your average home services marketplace. It's a game changer. With over 150 million homeowners served and a network of over 200,000 skilled pros, Angie has experience and expertise to tackle any project with ease. Whether you're looking to spruce up your backyard or undergo a major home renovation, Angie's got your back. And their pros are locally based, often running small businesses right in your community. And here's the best part. Angie makes the process seamless. From researching and comparing pros to scheduling services at your convenience, Angie's user-friendly platform puts you in control. So why settle for anything less than perfection when it comes to your home? With Angie, you can trust every project will be completed with the utmost care and professionalism. So get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today to discover why homeowners across the nation are turning to Angie to get all their jobs done well.
Checking the website. I wanted to switch gears to a story that is not as sort of life and death, but is interesting nonetheless,
it's
and sort of fascinating and very intense. So Dana White, the founder of the UFC, a very successful guy, was celebrating New Year's Eve with his wife. His wife is Anne White. They've been married for 26 years, and I wanted to lay that context so that we can understand exactly sort of what transpired here. They're at a nightclub in Cabo San Lucas, partying shortly after midnight. They're at a nightclub called El Squid Row. They're in a VIP section, and that's where the video sort of picks up. There's
everyone can see them because they're
on
floating above the club, basically.
Yes, and they're sort of towards the railing, so they're
right
in
there.
The middle
and,
of the action.
Dana's very distinctive, easy to pick out guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's Daddy Warbucks with
he's
that
large,
bald head
guy,
and the sort of
giant
arms. His wife is in some sort of confrontation with him where you see her say something, they say words to each other, and then she slaps him. Immediately thereafter, he slaps her face with an open hand, and then there's a bit of a scuffle. He may have done it sort of twice. They may have been – there's a commotion after that, which they're then pulled apart. But it's jarring. Dana White is a massive guy, and he's always been very consistent about there is no excuse for ever laying your hands on a woman. He's in a fighting industry, so he's pushed that message very hard.
Yeah.
He obviously has female fighters, but you know the female fighters fight each other, and the male fighters fight each other, and he thinks, in his worldview, and I think it's shared by most people,
hit
women.
Yeah.
And he's been very consistent about that. So he's now in this awkward position of explaining this. And we talked to him on TMZ Live about it. And here, take a listen.
You know, you've heard me say for years, there's never, ever an excuse for a guy to put his hands on a woman. And now here I am on TMZ talking about it. But my wife and I have been married for almost 30 years. We've known each other since we were 12 years old. We've obviously been through some together, and we've got three kids, and you know, this is one of those situations that's, you know, horrible. I'm embarrassed. This is just one of those unfortunate situations.
So I thought this was expertly handled.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an
just
awful
own up,
situation.
Like, yep, this was bad. We were drunk, went to a bad place.
Yeah,
and
he does point out. Now, you and I've been married for 11 years. Just celebrated my 11th anniversary.
You've
been married for a number of years.
Almost 12.
Almost 12 years. So we got married around the same time. We have long-term marriages. This is not an excuse, and he doesn't use it as an excuse, and he keeps sort of emphasizing that. I don't want to make any excuses, but he is providing context, and he has been married for 26 years. I can say that there's never been any sort of physical confrontation with my wife, but there are intense emotions, and there are intense arguments when you live with someone. And for her part, has said this was entirely out of character for Dana. Nothing like this has ever happened before. They both echo that sentiment. Mm-hmm. They say they've apologized to each other. They're good, and they're asking for privacy so that they can focus on how this impacted their three kids. They have not very young kids, but they have three children.
Yeah.
And this can be traumatic for them to see, you know, mom and dad fight in this way. And, you know... I don't know.
I know
that
you
there's
don't.
Much,
you're like, I don't you
don't
know how, defend it.
I don't. I'm not defending.
It's bad. Interesting that I thought that she said this was out of character for Dana.
Yeah.
Was it out of character for her because she hit him first?
That's a good
she
question.
She slapped him right in the face. Pretty
without question.
There.
Yes.
She didn't say like, "Oh, this was so bad of me."
No. She says completely out of character
and
for
not that
Dana.
I think
you're
she slaps him all the time.
No,
but,
it doesn't sound like they have a very sort of physical relationship. But we don't know.
I know. Yeah. You're right. Like you're in a position where you don't want to defend this.
No. There's no.
But it's not like they had some brutal knockdown, drag-out beatdown. She slapped him, he slapped her back.
Yes.
And he's much bigger than her, and he, as he said, I should not have done that.
And
he should not have.
And she has moved on. She is speaking. I think that's a big feature of the story is that Anne has said, we're good, we've apologized, I know there's going to be a wild take machine about Dana's inconsistency on this issue and being caught in the awkwardness of hitting someone, but they're fine. So
that's why I think you and I are on the same page on this. Like, I don't want to defend this and be like, oh, it's no big deal, whatever. No, it's bad. Don't hit each other, either of them.
Either of them, yeah.
But it's also, then it's like, oh, it's domestic violence, and it becomes this, like, Chris Brown, Rihanna thing of, like, you beat her, and is this a pattern? And it seems like an old married couple that got drunk and got emotional on New Year's and smacked each other, which is shouldn't do it.
It does seem that way. Look, if there were competing narratives, if she were pressing charges and Dana was out here sort of saying, we're married and she's blowing this out of proportion, if something like that happened, I'd have a very different read of the situation. But when both parties involved, yes, he's a huge celebrity. He has to deal with the limelight. This was captured on video. He's not running away from it being captured on video. He's not making an excuse for it. She is sort of explaining that they're okay now. I think that's enough. It's an awful situation. I feel for both of them that, you know, drinks were flowing, as you said. It's New Year's Eve, and it ended in such an awful way. And Dana, you know, for his part, you know, he's someone who we're involved with a lot at TMZ. He's very heavily involved. We get, we do a lot of USC stories on TMZ Sports and otherwise. We have a relationship with Dana, and he does seem genuinely contrite to me. He doesn't look, like, combative about it. He looks embarrassed, and he says he's embarrassed by the incident. And I think that's enough. It's a cycle that he'll have to live with. It's something that the video will be around for the rest of his life, and he will have to deal with that.
It'll
he's a big celebrity.
It'll pop up from time to time.
That's right.
Forever.
One interesting wrinkle about this is, and it's unfortunate, one of his big things that he's promoting, do you know what it is? It's called a slapping league.
That's right.
Yes. So he is behind the promotion of two people looking at each other across the table and just slapping each other as hard as they can, fighting across the table. That's going to be an unfortunate video that he's going to have to deal with as he promotes this new venture, which he is, you know, heavily behind. I think TNT or one of the Turner stations is going to broadcast these events. Dana is a hell of a promoter. He put UFC, which had existed, you know, mixed MMA fighting had existed for a long time.
Mixed martial arts? Is that what
mixed
you're
martial
to come
arts?
Up with there?
I couldn't come up
mixed
with
MMA.
The second M. It's existed for a long time, but UFC is obviously the biggest version of it, and I assume he will sort of help slap fighting become very, very big. But it's going to be an unfortunate meme. I can already sort of see that playing
and
out.
And it seems so coincidental because, you know, we tend to be very cynical here sometimes, and always like, ah. So you think like, oh, was this to like drum up promotion? Absolutely not. I do
my
not.
My goodness.
That.
This is not the kind of promotion he wants for his new slap fighting
and
league.
And he did
at
not
all.
Even mention it.
No, he didn't. I just thought of it.
Yeah,
you're
right. I forgot about that.
It's a league that he's behind. So we'll see how this plays out. I think unlike the Damar Hamlin story, which is, you know, it's still uncertainty. There's a lot of uncertainty as to his condition, what this will mean for the league, what this will mean for his life going forward. I think the Dana White story, you can sort of cabinet. You know, we rarely are able to put sort of a story in a box and look at it from all angles and then form a conclusion. There's always uncertainty, but we know Dana. We've spoken with Dana. We've spoken with Ann. We've seen the video. Everyone can process it. And I've come to the conclusion that it's
a
deeply unfortunate situation that we can move on from. It was a terrible night.
Yeah.
Both of them have moved on, and I'll move on.
Yeah. Like I said, like we've both been married a long time, and I've never hit my wife.
No.
But, you know, sometimes you argue, especially if you've had some drinks, and then the next day you're like, that was a dumb argument.
Exactly. Exactly.
What were we even fighting about?
And look, it's not in me, and it does. I know you pretty well. It's not in me to turn to the physical. I'm a sort of pretty verbose guy. I get into very heated arguments. I can say some really nasty things, and I've had them said at me.
Your wife slapped you first, you'd probably just cry.
I probably would cry in a corner. She's much, much stronger than me. But listen, it doesn't seem like it's in my nature, but to do such a thing. But he's in a fighting industry. He's a guy who is in a physical sort of combative state. It's more natural to him, is what I'm trying to say.
She smacked him, and he immediately just returned it.
Unfortunate, and we'll move on. But that'll do it for us. Stay tuned for our next episode tomorrow. See you then.